The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back. You're on with We the People Radio. You're here with Aaron, Bill, and Bob. And we've got Terry Rourke.
You're not going to put your headphones on? Come on, put them on backwards for me. Oh, whoops.
I'm all tangled up.
Those sounds of a struggle were...
Oh, there we go.
Our co-host.
Hey, this isn't an easy job.
Our
indefatigable... You think it's just sitting here in a chair acting stupid.
Don't make me say indefatigable twice. It's really that's a risky word to throw out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Terry, are you still there with us?
I sure am, Aaron.
Oh, it was so quiet. Things are working so well all of a sudden. I just took me by surprise. So let's see. Let me do your little bio again in case we're using this as a one-hour thing. So we have Terry Rourke on with us. She's a native Californian, sure, easy for me to say, and surviving parent of a child who was injured by a DPT vaccine as an infant in 1973. Longtime volunteer with both the National Vaccine Information Center and parentalrights.org. She's been educating with parents about the dangers of vaccines for several decades. So you got into this long before it was popular to be into this, and I'm assuming back then people were like, you know, you're a maniac. They just figured you.
Yeah, You know, I'm too old for that at this point. At one time, I cared. Now I don't.
You stopped caring. I used to care. Now I don't.
Yeah, I used to care what people thought of me. Now I don't.
So you had a perfectly healthy baby. Time goes on. Take him in for shots. He was how old?
He was an infant. It was a 2-4 month visit.
Okay, I don't know anything about that stuff, so I'm flying blind there. So you took him in, and then after that, something changed, and how did you, I mean, was it just super, super obvious?
Well, the things that I noticed, and being a first-time mom and inexperienced, I didn't make a connection to the vaccines. He was fussy all the time. He stopped latching. He was very irritable. He just wasn't himself. And I hadn't connected the vaccines. What really got it going for me was when I took him in for his 15th month. Back then in the 70s, they had one MMR vaccine during their 15th month. And the nurse asked me if my baby was allergic to eggs. And I said, you know, I don't know. There's something wrong, something very wrong. We haven't figured it out yet. I've been working with the doctor who was the GP to, you know, get my diet such that he wouldn't react. We had supplemented with different foods. By the age of 15 months, he was, you know, he had teeth. He was eating some solids. And the nurse said, if there's any chance that your baby's allergic to eggs, I'm not going to give him this vaccine. You have to go back to your doctor. So I went back to the doctor, asked him to give my baby boy the MMR vaccine, because, again, I was a responsible mom doing what I thought was the right thing to do. And the doctor told me that if the nurse at the county health clinic wouldn't give him the vaccine, that he surely wouldn't. And at that point, we were referred to a pediatrician, and I knew that I had a very sick child, because only the sick kids had a pediatrician.
Mm. Interesting.
And so that's when I first started, you know, saying, okay, there's something more going on with this. But because that was the last vaccine on the entire childhood schedule, and I was told at that point by the nurse and a doctor, and later with many doctors that had helped me to recover my son as best as possible over the years, they all informed me and confirmed it with a lot of lab work that he should never be vaccinated again. And since there was no more requirements and he was still allowed to go to school during the days that he was healthy enough to be in school, I didn't really investigate it a lot more at that time. And it wasn't until Oh, I guess maybe closer to the mid-80s when I started getting, I had my own little computer and I could search around for things and I was curious and I wanted to learn more. And I stumbled on to the National Vaccine Information Center website along the lines and I started reading and I started learning. And I knew then that more people needed to know what was going on so that they would make informed decisions, they would do their own research, and they would work with their appointed, you know, their selected medical provider to do the right thing for each individual child. And the thing about what's just happened in California, it's completely draconian bill. It literally forces 18 million children in the state of California to become wards of the state when it comes to vaccines. And children will be required to have whatever vaccine the state says in order for them to have a public or private education.
Yeah. Is anybody suing over that?
Absolutely. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits. During the legislation process of this bill, we had numerous hearings in the Senate side as well as the Assembly side. And we had days of hearings where we had hundreds of people in the Capitol. Some of those hearings, we had thousands of people in the Capitol. And everyone that works on staff, from security to the janitorial staff to the legislative staffers, they have never seen this many citizens show up in opposition of a bill ever. They were very surprised. But when you get, a generation of mothers whose children have been injured by vaccines, and the state comes along and says, you do what we say or else, they are going to rise up. And what I'm seeing here is an entire army of mama and papa California bears. And they are not going to put up with this. We've got a referendum going to get it on the ballot so people can vote, so that politicians don't make medical decisions for our children. We have recall efforts for many legislators going on, and your next guest is much more intimately familiar with that, Dr. Richard Pan. We have the referendum going, and there are scads of legal firms and legal teams pulling together. There will be litigation on this from every angle you can imagine. Like I said, the people of California are not going to put up with it.
Are you, on this referendum, are you actually collecting signatures on that now?
Sure.
And how is that effort going? Are you getting, what kind of feedback and what kind of response are you getting from folks?
Well, it's mixed. It's a mixed bag. But I think what really matters is that in less than a month, referendum was filed by former Assemblyman Tim Donnelly, who I happen to know. The petitions were printed, and over 3,000 volunteers said, give me those petitions, I'm going to get signatures. I was talking at a local farmer's market today, meeting with some people in my community, and we had a couple of people walk by and not want to hear anything about it. Their mind was made up. Some of them decided to call us nasty names. But all in all, for the most part, the people are very concerned about this, and they're eager to sign these petitions because they either recognize that something's not right and they haven't really stopped long enough to do their own research, and they would like the opportunity to do that. And by getting the signatures we need in the next 2 months to get it on the ballot, the California citizens have a whole year to educate themselves and become informed.
So you have
the temperature out here is looking good. One of the things I also noticed, which was very encouraging, is at the National Vaccine Information Center, we have an advocacy portal that's been online for about 15 years, and people can sign up to stay informed of what's going on in their individual states' legislative sessions about vaccines. And in the last 6 months, the members of California have tripled.
Wow.
And that's encouraging to me. I mean, you know, for somebody like me that's been dealing with this for a few decades, to see the number of advocates in California triple in such a short period of time is very encouraging.
Gosh, I hope that folks get educated on this and there's a total uprising, because I mean it's a step too far.
It is a step too far. And so Terry, to go back to what we were talking about in the first part of the hour, when a child has autism, it isn't just the parent who has to deal with it. I mean, it isn't, obviously it totally changes your family dynamic and all that, but when you get into the services required to keep a kid, you know, keep a child in school, if in fact they can do that, or in a special program or whatever, are there any, I don't know, statistics out there, or any studies out there on what that actually, just the bare bones cost on something like that?
You know, that's a really good question, Aaron. I know that the statistics are available. I don't happen to have them, you know, at my fingertips, and it's not something I have stored in the memory banks.
It's expensive, though, isn't it?
It's very expensive. It's very expensive, you know. Behavioral therapy for one child for a reasonable amount of hours on an annual basis can be $30,000-$40,000. Students that require one-on-one aids to help them and assist them throughout the school day, you know, that's a full-time staff person. So providing the educational services for special needs students is very costly.
So just, you know, for the people who are thinking, well, you know, my kids are grown up, doesn't affect me at all, I guess I'm always trying to make things relevant to everybody, because nothing happens to one group of people that doesn't affect the rest of us. And so even for people who are, you know, 50s, 60s, you know, still taxpayers, this is a huge, potentially a massive cost increase.
Yes, and that's already happened. We've reached critical mass on this already. The number of children that are in need, that require special educational services, and those are for the kids that are functioning well enough to even participate in a public school environment. Many children are not that well off, and they can't participate in a group environment. Will require, you know, 24-hour care the rest of their lives, and that is not only, like you said, a tremendous burden on their loved ones and family, but it's draining the economy to have so many seriously disabled young people.
Sure.
And that affects all of us. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, because I know a family.
One report that in the Los Angeles Unified School District is the second largest school district in the country. And the last report that I read indicated that 20% of their students are special needs students.
Oh, that's huge.
It is.
And it was never like that when we were kids.
No.
I mean, at all. And I know this one family, their boy is now, I'm going to say 20, 21, and he's living independently, but he has to have a full-time caregiver and all these different services, and it goes through a department of, what is it? Health and Human Services, but it's the state one, whatever that is called. And it's like $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
And that's one child. So I'm looking at all the illegal alien kids, probably most of whom have not had any kind of vaccinations. Now we're going to catch them up. Now let's run the numbers. Look at the percentage that we're going to damage And I'm sorry, if they commit crimes, we can't send them back. So if we foul them up with a vaccine, I guarantee you we're not sending them back. And so at that point, that becomes the taxpayer's burden.
That's correct.
So I just don't see any, besides the fact that we would not want to damage children. I mean, obviously that's the main point, but, you know, if you can't get over that part and you're willing to play roulette, you're playing it. It's a very, very expensive roulette, and it's going to mess up everybody's life, you know.
That's very true, and the profiteers are not going to stop at children.
Yeah, that's
There's already a bill, SB 792, which will be heard in the Assembly Appropriations Committee after summer break, sometime mid-August, that is mandating vaccines for daycare workers and preschool teachers.
Lovely.
And there's no exemptions on two of those vaccines.
Wow,
you
again.
Either get the vaccine or you cannot earn a livelihood. So when you start telling a society, you get this injected into your body or you can't go to school or you can't have a job, we're living in medical tyranny.
Yeah, we've gone somewhere extra bad. Hang on for one second,
Terry. Yeah, we've crossed the line.
Hang on one second, and we've got to take a really quick break again here. And then, I'd like you to talk about how people should take this on with their doctor, because most people, the doctors know more than they do, and they wind up intimidated and knuckling under. So when we come back, let's hit that a little bit.
Okay.
We're speaking with Terry Rourke. We're talking about vaccines. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, Terry, you're going to like this song, by the way. I think it might be your song.
Oh, okay.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much.
I guess that's it's kind of a good lead in there.
So you have a good DJ there.
Yeah, that's Bob. That's why we require that he be our engineer, because otherwise we would have to think of those songs, and well, that's not where we shine. So we all have to work in our sphere of influence. So. How should people, you know, I mean, I guess adults have to deal with their doctor, right, when they go get flu shots, and the doctor looks at them and says, well, who's the doctor, me or you? And then they take their kids in, and it's like, well, hey, it's not a choice, sorry. Even if the doctor doesn't really like it, they're stuck with it. So how do people who didn't go to medical school fight this thing?
Well, I can't give medical advice, obviously. I'm not licensed to do that.
Well, neither. We're not probably licensed to hear it either, but, you know, we can just chat about it. Just like, what if, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, for the most part, I think, you know, people just need to be responsible for their own health. And if we take care of our health, we don't need medicine, which reduces our need for doctors. Doctors don't do health. They do medicine. You know, that's one shift in the old brain paradigm.
True. And one of the guys online said, you know, we don't eat enough raw food anymore, just man-made things. Good point.
Right. You know, I advise parents to find a holistic physician, naturopaths, alternative providers. They're licensed MDs. They're just integrative, and they don't necessarily go along with the whole rigmarole of, you know, 49 doses of 14 vaccines before the age of 5. You know, they seem to be more acclimated to provide individualized health advice rather than one-size-fits-all, no matter what the condition, what the existing health is, what the family history is. You know, it's just wrong. We're all individuals, and we all react to everything differently. And to think that every child is the same violates the reality that we're all uniquely made, and we all have, you know, a very personal family history of our medical histories, and these things need to be taken into consideration. I tell people to find a doctor who treats you like a human being and respects you, and if they don't, then find a different doctor.
Yeah, that's good advice. Don't have to go to medical school for that. I guess if I have to argue with them over, I have crummy lungs, and so I went to a pulmonologist at one point. I was having a lot of trouble, and the pulmonary guy wanted me to take prednisone every day, and I was like 38, 37 something. And I knew because my mom had taken it years ago, and I said, there just is no way that that's the solution to my problem at this point in time is to take prednisone for the rest of my life. Forget it. And he was furious. He asked me who was the doctor, you know, who's the doctor in this room? And I said, well, who's got asthma in this room, you know? And he got all mad, walked out. I never saw him again. He broke up with me.
he may be the doctor, but you're the person with the body, and it belongs to you.
Yeah, he didn't have asthma. What does he know? You know, it's like I'm going to live on chemicals the rest of my life in order to just maintain. I don't know. Yeah. Not helpful. But with this stuff, it's such a murky place, and people don't really know how to defend themselves, I guess. You know, when they say, well, what do you want your kid to get? You know, whatever disease the thing is going to prevent.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You know,
let me tell
you a little something. I got a little tidbit for you, Erin.
See, I knew I'd coax it out of you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Here we go. I'll pull a little fact out of my brain.
There you go.
There's.
You'll feel better.
When they report statistics about deaths and so forth from all these different horrible diseases that when we were kids was just basically a mild childhood illness that we all got, we all survived, and you know, so we get a few days at home out of school and we get to eat ice cream in bed. It wasn't the end of the world.
No,
and
it was actually kind of good.
We're all fine. These statistics that they use are from the WHO, and those are international statistics, and those numbers are coming from third world countries where children are dying of everything because they have no clean water, no decent food, and they live in unsanitary conditions. Their immune systems are so weak that the death rate is high from any illness. So, you know, they it's scare tactics is all it is. It's like, you know, we get 134 or 140, whatever the number was, cases of measles in Disneyland, and the media goes crazy like Chicken Little. Oh, my gosh, we've got measles. We're all going to die. And I had to laugh, and I thought, oh, my gosh, people are going to believe this.
Yeah, because we've all had measles, all of us.
Well, look at the big Ebola scare. Look at what we went through with Ebola. We were all, it was going to It was going to cross the country. We were all going to get it. We were going to have to lock ourselves in our house and wear masks because we were all doomed. And in the end, what, we have 5 people that ended up getting Ebola, and we still have thousands of people every year that die from the flu, and you don't hear anything about that. So, I mean, people really do need to calm down and get educated a little bit.
Exactly. The media creates a lot of hype and fear, and people tend to make very bad decisions if they are fear-based. So, you know, my best advice is to keep breathing, you know, relax, do your own research, don't buy into the hype, don't get yourself all worked up. You know, these childhood illnesses that we're vaccinating kids for, you know, we have more kids being injured and dying from the vaccines than we do the childhood illnesses that they're being vaccinated supposedly to prevent. And, you know, for the people that are worried that somebody might be in their child's classroom that isn't vaccinated, you know, the counterpoint is always straight up. If your kid is vaccinated and if vaccines work,
yeah,
who cares how many kids are not vaccinated in your child's classroom? Are all the adults vaccinated when you go someplace public? What about when you take your kid to church or the ballpark or any place public where there's adults? Are you going to freak out because those adults don't have 49 doses of 16 vaccines? What about your child's teacher? What about your child's coach? What about the lady that works in the cafeteria at the school? These people aren't vaccinated with 49 doses of 14 vaccines. So what's the problem if one kid is missing one of the booster shots because, or one kid didn't get the chickenpox shot because, guess what? He already had the chickenpox. He's already got a natural immunity. He
right.
doesn't need a vaccine. So, you know, it's just a lot of hype and fear, and it's all very sophisticated the way that they roll this stuff out, and it's to drive behavior and drive profits.
Well, you know, and another argument you'll hear from the medical establishment is, you know, we live longer now than we ever have, so that supports the whole, you know, the medical industry. We're just making strides. But you know what? We've learned a lot more about nutrition and lifestyle.
Well, just washing our hands
exactly.
has made a huge difference.
Back in the day when we only lived to be 35 or 40 years old, we didn't know any of that stuff. I mean, shoot, they didn't even operate with a mask on back in those days. And so I think you have to really take that into consideration when you look at lifespan, not just the medical advances.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh, yeah, sanitation, food quality, water quality.
Exactly.
You know, and people are living longer, but what is the quality of life? You know, there's a difference between length of number of years and quality of life. And having, you know, people living longer who are on more and more medications requiring more and more medical procedures and surgeries, again, you know, that is profit-driven.
Yeah, and that seems to be a whole different angle on it, you know, is all the money in the pharmaceutical industry, and then also for the adult vaccines as well as for the kids. And then all this stuff with the CDC. Bob needs us to take a really quick break. We need to thank our advertisers. When we come back, can you talk a little bit about that, Terry?
You mean the CDC whistleblower?
Yeah, the CDC stuff. Just, you know, what's
okay.
why would they why would they intentionally lie to us? And I'm being kind of facetious, but I kind of know, but all right, we can chat about it. And
okay.
If you want to join us online, we are there at wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be right back.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be?
Do what you like.
Perfect. I'll tell you what, it just seems to be, you know, we're never short of material here. You know, people ask me, well, what's this show about? It's like, oh, I don't know, you know, all sorts of things. And you think after, what, five, 5 years or something we've been doing this, we'd run out of topics. But no, the government just keeps coming up with more bad ideas. So, Catherine, what about all that stuff with the CDC? It's always nice when we have a whistleblower. Uh-oh.
Okay, are you talking to me, Terry?
No, yes, you. Yes, you,
okay,
Terry.
Okay, is Catherine with us?
Oh, sorry, did I just call you Catherine?
Yeah, that's okay, but I thought she was coming on today.
Bad me. We couldn't get both of you on the phone at the same time, so I was texting with her while I was talking to you. Now you know what I'm doing.
Oh, no wonder.
I've got somebody else in the chat room who was going to be in the studio, but that didn't work out. See, a lot of things just don't always work out at the last minute. Today was one of those days.
That's the way it goes.
I know. Talk to us about CDC.
Well, I don't know what you want to know. It's other than the fact that it is a totally corrupt agency that has been captured by the pharmaceutical companies. They do not protect Americans from disease. They actually, you know, are deaf, dumb, and blind, or want us to think that. The corruption there is so disgusting. I can't even really talk about it. One of the former head of the CDC, Julie was her first name. I always botch the pronunciation of her last name. I want to call her Gerber Dingling, but I know that's not correct.
How we make those little names for our special people in our lives.
Gerber Dingling is my name for her. And although she's very smart if she's wanting to sleep on a mattress full of blood money. But she left CDC, took over the International Vaccine Division for Merck, and she was at the CDC during the time that Merck got several of their products recommended and mandated, and it happened to be vaccines that no other manufacturers make. So she, you know, delivered to them a captive audience with mandatory vaccines on Merck products, and they, you know, rewarded her handsomely when she left CDC. So what we see there is the revolving door corruption like we see in, you know, with the Monsanto people and the FDA and so forth. But, people really just have to take responsibility for themselves and stop believing that Big Brother is taking care of us and our interests are,
Sure.
Our best interests are what they're concerned with, because it's not true.
Well, the CDC, I know that there's at least one scientist, local as a matter of fact, that the CDC won't communicate with because his son is part of the vaccine injured children. I don't know if it's a lawsuit or I don't know enough about that, but there's a group that's formed by people who have children who were injured by vaccines. Can you shed more light on that?
Are you talking about the vaccine injury court?
I don't know. It's been a couple of years ago now, and I just know that there's a group of people that all had kids who were injured by vaccines, and I'm not sure if they're just seeking to pressure the CDC into giving up information or if it's a lawsuit or what. Do you know about that?
Well, there's quite a bit of different things going on in regards to the lawsuit. There are very large organizations of children, of parents with vaccine-injured children. It's not a small group, not by a long shot.
Right. I knew it was pretty big.
Yeah, and there are multiple groups that are advocating and fighting to bring transparency to the CDC and our vaccine schedule in particular.
What about some of these autism groups that are out there? Like there's one called Autism Speaks, I think.
Autism Speaks is a national group. They're actually, interestingly enough, if you read their mission statement, and you read the mission statement of CDC in reference to autism, it looks like the same public relations agency wrote it. Autism Speaks is very much all about in favor of vaccines.
Oh, how confusing.
And they have one of their major donors is the pharmaceutical industry. So they're kind of a front group. I refer to them as the warm, fuzzy glove on the, or the warm velvet glove on the CDC iron fist. Their big thing, oh, get this one, you're going to love this one, Aaron. Their big thing is promoting the development of a vaccine to prevent autism. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. You talk
it is
about
kinda rich.
The perfect business model. Okay, you have a product that the correlation is solid and the proof is there that your product is causing severe damage to many children. But let's just lie about it. Let's just discredit all the valid doctors and scientists that have brought forth real science. And we'll just say it doesn't really, that's not true. There's no correlation. And then we'll develop another vaccine and we'll use it. And we'll sell that to people who want to prevent the very thing that our first products are creating. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
Yeah, that's like having a light switch that turns the lights on and turns them off at the same time.
Right.
It's stupid and crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
So some of the autism, the big autism groups that really should be helping, I guess, to expose this, they're not. They're not doing that.
Well, there's an organization called Focus Autism. They've done a lot of work. Autism One does a lot of work. There's many, many organizations that are working to educate people, because really the bottom line is educating people, because the more people know the truth, the more people will not be deceived. And, you know, it's a process. We're up against, you know, major media with unlimited pharma dollars to promote whatever it is they want people to believe.
God, that's unbelievable.
But, you know, more and more doctors are coming forward and telling the truth about what they're witnessing in their own offices. You know, people of conscience, people of heart that are compassionate and are in the profession honestly and truly to help people, they can't take it anymore. They've witnessed too much carnage, too much injury, too much death, and they're speaking out, and a lot of them are leaving the traditional environment. That's happening to a lot of nursing students that are, you know, they're in nursing school, they're being forced to get vaccines, they're saying, no, I'm not doing that, and they leave nursing school. Nursing professionals are leaving the profession. You know, like I said, good people that are honorable people of good conscience, they can't keep doing this. And they're leaving the profession and they're speaking up. And scientists, too, are coming forward. There's cases of fraud against Merck brought on by two of their own staff members who were high-level scientists doing studies on some of the vaccines. They've come forward and told the truth that they were required to falsify their data so that they could get the approval from FDA.
And we have a question in the chat as to whether or not you have anything to say about the connection of the doctors that are basically being murdered. I think there's 10 of them. Am I right?
You know, I haven't really stayed on top of that. I can't say one way or another what's going on there. I don't know. I didn't know any of them personally.
But they had their roots in, you know, they were either researching or, I mean, it's kind of, I think the suspicion is that somebody's after them because they seem to all be connected to the vaccine stuff in some way, shape, or form.
Well, some of them I understood were forerunners in developing cancer cures. So I don't know that they were all in all related to vaccines or not. To be honest with you, I've been so busy with the stuff going on in California that I haven't read a lot of those articles.
I did read one. I read one about a guy, and he was finding he was having really good success with cancer cure, but it also cured autism. And so there was kind of the crossover there. I don't know a lot about that either. That's why I just wondered. Someone was asking in the chat if you had any knowledge of that. So I guess that's something else we've got to read up on.
No, I'm sorry. I don't have any personal knowledge of that. I find it very sad. Whether coincidence or not, I'm not going to speculate.
Yeah.
It does seem unusual that so many people are gone now who were on the forefront of bringing true healing to people. And, you know, right now the greatest health emergency in our country is vaccine injury. That's the health crisis right there.
God.
It's not measles, it's not Ebola, it's not flu, it's not whatever else they can drum up to frighten people. The epidemic that is ravishing our children is vaccine injury.
At the exact same time, we're mandating them, which is terrific.
Yeah, exactly, we now that the state has stepped in and supported it all and making it mandatory.
All right, Terry, we've only got 10 more minutes, but hang with us. We've got to fit in one more commercial break so Bill can sip more loud coffee on the air.
Yeah, okay.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Bless the peace and the children, for in this world they have no voice. They have no choice.
Come on, women, come on, you don't fight fair. That's okay, see if I care. Knock me down, it's all in vain. I get right back on my feet again. Hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
Yeah, incorrigible, Bob. I forgot about that one. And there is no best shot. So there we go. She was wrong. Classic.
Yeah. Was that, who was the artist on that one? I'm drawing a blank.
That was Pat Benatar.
Oh, Pat Benatar.
That's right, Pat Benatar.
I was going to say Joan Jett. It was one of those.
Yeah. Alrighty then.
There, you can put that in your little stash in case you ever do a musical, you know, version of Don't Get Your Vaccines.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're going to put in a call to Catherine here. She's been listening and texting and saying, go, Terry, go.
bless her heart. She's a great gal.
God love her. Well, because she's working on the recall pan. Are you working on that too?
No, he's not in my district, but I can tell you, if I lived in his district, I'd be parked out in front of his house collecting signatures to can him.
He is a California senator, and he was the one who carried the vaccine bill.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, so they're trying to get a recall of him. So I thought maybe we would have her jump in and tell people how they could become part of that. It's nice he has an easy name, P-A-N, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of like Peter Pan, you know, another good thing gone bad.
Well, Catherine's your gal on the pan recall. She's been right in the middle of it, and she knows exactly what's going on there. I need to jump off so she can come on, right? Is that the way that the thing works?
Well, it's supposed to work when you're both on, but what happens is mostly you can't hear each other or you can't hear us or both.
Well, you're both on now, so try it.
Oh. Catherine, can you hear us?
I can.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds like you're...
Oh, my gosh. I can hear you.
I can hear you, Catherine. This is Terry.
Can you hear me?
Jeez. Yeah, we couldn't have gotten this 2 hours ago. It didn't work then, but it'll work now when we have 4 minutes left.
I kept getting disconnected, so.
So talk to us about the recall of Senator Pan that's being mounted.
So we have volunteers pounding at our door to get involved in collecting signatures for the Pan recall, and it's just turned out to be fantastic. So many people are waking up to what's going on and are outraged. I went out to my car this morning, and I didn't want to be seen by anybody. And one of my neighbors came by with her little dogs, and she says, "Hey, did you see the paper? There's a Pan recall going on." And it was in our local paper, and I said, "Yeah, that was me."
You're like, "No, really?"
Yeah, Leo, that was me. And she asked if she could get involved. So she's going to get my whole block on my neighborhood here on the Pan recall as well. So people are just jumping on board because they're starting to understand that this is not, we're not necessarily anti-vaxxers, but we are not okay with the government telling us what we can and can't do with our bodies. So they're outraged enough that they want to see this end, and they're jumping on board, and I couldn't be more delighted. More people than I could ever have expected are getting on board with this. I was starting to think, I think all the people that we are getting, you know, their signatures are the ones that are volunteers. We're not going to have anybody to, you know, by the time we get out there, we'll have all of our volunteers having signed all of our petitions, and that would be fantastic. But we are going door to door. We're out at local businesses, so look around for us. We're only in District 6. That's the District 6 part of Sacramento and West Sacramento. So look for us.
The website for that is recallpan.com.
We have recallpan.com, and we're on Facebook, too, Sacramento Recall Senator Pan. And
I'll add that.
Yeah. So you can catch us on Facebook. You can catch us on our website. You can donate. You can get involved. And, you know, we'd love to have you volunteer.
Perfect.
Well, say again, what is the borders of District 6?
Well, it's Elk Grove, most of Sacramento, up to, I'd love to actually send that. As a matter of fact, you know what I'll do, Bill, is I will put it on, I'll send it to you. You can put it on the website, on your website.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and it's Arden area, all the way downtown, all the way across the river to West Sacramento.
Nice.
And, but I'll put the map up there so you can get, because there are a couple of maps online, and it's not, they're not really accurate, so.
Okay, and then
the map.
Tell me this, Terry, bill, you know, the referendum that you guys are doing, that's California statewide, correct?
That is statewide.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yes. The referendum is throughout the state. Any registered voter in the state of California can sign a petition to get it on the ballot for in November of 2016.
Nice.
And that's what we're out doing today. And Catherine, I wanted to let you know, I was talking with some of our mutual friends earlier this morning, and there is a large contingency from the Central Valley region coming up to Senate District 6 to join you in getting Can-Pan petition signed next
Can-Pan.
Weekend. So you're going to have some reinforcement coming your way.
I like Can-Pan. That's fine. That's an easy one.
You know, that's a really amazing
thing. Okay, girls, we got to jump off. We are running out of rope here, and the news is going to take us over. So hit us on wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll post all the things from both of these gals. And ladies, if you have other things you want on there, shoot them to us. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Terry.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Aaron.
Just say no to shots.
Thanks for coming on.
See you guys next
Thank
week.
You.